Welcome to Good News from the Good Book with Dr. Tim Rader, Senior Pastor at the Fundamental Baptist Church, located in Kinross, Michigan. Stay with us for the next 30 minutes as we bring you a message from God's Word.
Luke in chapter 15, if you'd turn there, please. Luke in chapter 15. Last Sunday morning, I preached on the parable of the tares, and I thought this morning, and that was, you know, whether you're saved or not. And of course, it was a direct application to Israel there, but and the kingdom. But the fact is, there are a lot of people in the church houses today that aren't born again. They're not really saved. And then if you came Sunday night, you heard a compliment message to that. Pastor Josh preached a real good message on that. And this morning, what I want to do is I want to emphasize the doctrine of forgiveness. And three more parables, and I'll just kind of preach through three of them very shortly until we get the first two, and I'll get to the third one. And truthfully, that won't take really all that long as well. I read this last week of three old guys visiting with one another. One of them said, "Isn't it windy?" And the second one said, "No, I think it's Thursday." And the third one said, "Me too, let's go get some lemonade." And let me go through that one more time so you got it, right? Because listen, I'm telling you, everything's all right in our Father's house. And if you don't get out of some of you look so gloomy this morning. So gloomy, get with it. Climb out of that. The sun is shining. It really is a beautiful day. All the cockroaches are dying in the Upper Peninsula. Any of them that were left, they're all pretty much gone. It is, unfortunately, a downside to that is the mosquitoes don't die. Well, we know that, all right? I had 15 below. Pickford had 32 below. I was told this morning Dafter had 37 below. And so that's not a wind chill factor for anybody that might be listening from out of the area. And we're missing about 100 people here this morning. But praise God for you youpers, and just don't let anything keep you from church. You're here this morning. God is going to bless you. I know that. Apparently, you got some good batteries in your automobiles and trucks, and you were able to get here this morning, and I trust it's going to be a great day. Luke and chapter 15. I maybe even told you Matthew earlier. Luke and chapter 15. Don't forget the 90-day challenge. Please be working at it. You ought to be to Joshua chapter 20 in your Bible reading. That's minimal. Joshua and chapter 20. You ought to be praying for, and I hope you did all week long, prayed for everybody in the church family. Get the church directory and pray for them by name. I need your prayers. We need your prayers. You need my prayers. Everybody needs, we need to be praying for one another. That's so very important. It doesn't take long. If you just go through the list and don't stop and pray specifics, what you need to do is the Holy Spirit leads you. You can pray through the whole church directory. Hundreds of people, kids included, all the names are there. And you can do it all in less than 10 minutes without any problem. So it's not a great sacrifice to pray for the brethren. And the third thing is in the next 90 days, bring a family to church. Disciple them. Establish them. Get them growing. Remember that three to thrive kind of thing. I figure I better tell you that because it's supposed to get colder as the day goes on. And tonight at 6 o'clock, we're going to have church here at Fundamental Baptist Church. And you need to be here, and I want to encourage you to be here. Tonight's message will be of great encouragement. I am sure of that. Okay, Luke in chapter 15. We have the three parables here. The parable, some refer to it as the parable of the herdsman, the housewife, and the father. Another way to refer to these three parables is the parable of the sheep, the treasure, and the beloved son. That third parable is the pearl of all parables, the most famous of all the parables, and that is the prodigal son. These three parables are on forgiveness. Forgiveness. I would remind you again this morning that whosoever will may come. I remind you again this morning that Jesus died and died for every sinner in all of the world, every man, every woman, every child, and it is the will of God that everybody get born again. God does not want you to go to hell. Forgiveness is for everybody. And it's a good thing we worship a forgiving God, because we as people don't do a good job doing that. We have a hard time forgiving one another. We are so human and so sinful and so fleshly. But our God is a merciful God. Our God, these three parables are parables on the grand theme of forgiveness. On the grand and merciful theme of forgiving sinners. Luke chapter 15, verse 1. Then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners for to hear him. God loves sinners. Publicans. These were Jewish men that contracted with the evil Roman government to collect taxes. These men were hated by the Jews. They were considered turncoats, traitors to their own people. These tax collectors were greedy, they were harsh, and they were dishonest. They were detested by the common folk. And here's Jesus ministering to the publicans and ministering to the sinners. Fundamental Baptist Church, let's not ever forget this. Let's not ever get too big for our own britches and think we've arrived and we're somebody. Now, we're the Bible fundamentalists in Chippewa County, and we got to do our best to bring everybody else up to our level. You are wrong. You are wrong. We are sinners saved by grace. And as sinners saved by grace, we need to follow our Master, our Savior, and minister to the publicans and the sinners around us. They're the ones in need of salvation. They're the ones in need of Christ. Then drew near unto him all the publicans and the sinners for to hear him. They were desperate. And the Pharisees and the scribes murmured. And you know what that word murmured means. They were speaking under their breath. Things that ought not to be said, let alone thought. And the Pharisees and the scribes murmured, saying, "This man receiveth sinners and eateth with them." God knows what you say in secret. God knows what you think in secret. The Pharisees were murmuring. Jesus responds to them with three parables. Earthly story, heavenly meeting. Those that weren't able to understand, it's because they were spiritually dull. It says here in verse 3, says, "He spake unto this parable unto them, saying, What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost, until he find it?" Now, understand what he's saying here. Now, there's the details of the parable, and then what he's saying. Jesus is saying to the Pharisees and the scribes that were murmuring because he was ministering to the publicans and the sinners, he says, "Which one of you fellas, if you have 100 sheep and one's lost, you go after the one lost sheep?" That's what I'm doing. That's what I'm doing. Let's read on here. Verse 5, "And when he hath found it, he layeth it on his shoulders, rejoicing." He said, you do the same thing. That's what a loving shepherd does. "And when he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and his neighbors, saying unto them, Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth," that changes their mind, their heart, they turn around, "more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance." Here is insight into the mind of God. God is in the business of forgiving repentant sinners. That's why he's ordained the church, so that we would hold forth the light, so we would lift high the name of Jesus, so that when sinners repent of their sin, they know where to turn to. There is rejoicing in the presence of the holy angels. There is rejoicing in heaven over one sinner that repenteth. Over one. Just one. Just one. Even if it was a little child. Just one. Last Sunday, two men got saved. There was rejoicing in heaven. If there are fireworks up there, there were fireworks set off that day. There's rejoicing in the presence of the holy angels over one sinner that repenteth. When a child repents, that child is just as important to God as any adult. In fact, D.L. Moody was once asked about one of his meetings. He said, "We had 2.5 people saved." And the guy said, 2.5 people? You mean 2 adults and 1 child? He said, "No, I mean 2 children and 1 adult. Those children got their whole life to live for God. Their whole life. Rejoice in the salvation of souls. Don't ever get to the place where you're so heavenly minded, you're no earthly good. God keep Fundamental Baptist Church from ever getting to the place where we become plastic, where we become denominational, where we become better than other people. We need to exalt, we need to lift high Jesus. We show that with our lifestyles. We're the saints, we're the holy ones. That's what the scriptures say. That's what the word saint means. We're holy ones, called out of the world, ecclesia. We're to be the changed people, we're to be different people, and they're to identify Jesus Christ by looking at our lifestyles. And there's a parable here. Now, by the way, I better go back and say this. These three parables, what Jesus spoke to Israel was for Israel concerning the kingdom, very obvious, and very obvious application to the church today and the doctrine of forgiveness. Because the elder son is a picture of Israel. The prodigal son is a picture of the Gentiles. The 99 picture of Israel. The one lost sheep, picture of the Gentiles. In this case, the publicans, the sinners. Let's read on. Verse 8. Now is the parable of the treasure, the lost coin. Either what woman, having 10 pieces of silver, if she lose one piece, doth not light a candle and sweep the house diligently and seek diligently till she find it. Now this isn't just a penny. This is a denarius, which is equivalent to one day's wages. So she has 10 of them, and she's lost one. She gets out the broom, puts all the furniture up on the tables, wherever she can get them, and she sweeps every corner of her home. She's looking for this one lost piece of silver, because this silver is precious. I tell you again that every soul is precious to God. It doesn't matter if they're young or they're old, rich or poor, real intelligent or not so intelligent. It doesn't matter to God. Every soul is going to live forever. They get born again. They'll one day receive a glorified body, a perfect body, and they'll live for all of eternity in God's heaven, in God's house. Everything's all right in my Father's house. I go to prepare a place for you. In my Father's house are many mansions. Everything is okay there. One lost coin. That one soul in the deepest, darkest recesses of the Upper Peninsula of Michigan, of the county of Chippewa, Michigan. That one soul that is the farthest, that one soul that is the quietest, that one soul that has no inkling of any of the doctrines of God, Jesus died for. And that one soul, that one sheep, that one coin, is precious to God. So much so that when the sheep is found, when the coin is found, when the soul repents, there's rejoicing in heaven. In Hebrews in chapter 12, we read of a heavenly grandstand. I alluded to this either last week or the week before. Give me a little bit of window liberty there. I'm not sure which sermon it was. But I remember alluding to it. And the truth is, I believe people in heaven know what's going on this earth. They know who's being faithful and they know who's not being faithful. And they're in the heavenly grandstand, if they so choose to be, because I'm sure there's a lot to do there, and they're cheering us on. They're for the church of Jesus Christ. They're for the eternal word of God. They understand it's all about souls. And I'll tell you this again. I know I said this last week. Any ministry that isn't evangelistic, it ain't worth spit. It's not worth anything. Because it's all about souls. Jesus came to seek and to save that which is lost. Not to just comfort the saints. You know, he does that. But we're here, we're left here for a reason. And it's to glorify God so that souls will come to Christ. And if you're not a soul winner, if you're not a good soul winner, memorize those scriptures and practice and reach out to people, because there are some people that you're going to talk to that I will never see eyeball to eyeball. Never. They'll never come to the church house. They'll never hear a gospel message. They'll never hear the gospel explained. You understand what blood on our hands is all about, what the prophet Ezekiel was talking about? Let's go back to this parable again. Verse 8, either what woman having 10 pieces of silver, if she lose one piece, doth not light a candle and sweep the house and seek diligently till she find it? And when she hath found it, she calleth her friends and her neighbors together, and saying, rejoice with me, for I have found the piece which I had lost. Sounds like a party. She's getting all her friends, all her neighbors. Come on over. Come on over. We're going to celebrate. Verse 10, likewise, I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth. Remember what this is all about. The Pharisees and the Sadducees and the scribes were murmuring. All Jesus thinks about is winning the lost. All Jesus thinks about is ministering to those publicans and those sinners. What about us? By the way, that's going to be addressed directly in the prodigal son with the old. What about us? I want you to know this. I want you to hear it clear. We've got to stay evangelistic. We've got to go after people. We need to be fishers of men. We can't, don't say, if you got the Holy Spirit living within you, don't you use the weak excuse. It doesn't hold water. That's not my gift. That's phony as a $3 bill. Let's go back to the text here again. She calls her neighbors. I say there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth. Jesus said, if you lost a sheep, you'd go after it, wouldn't you? And you'd rejoice when you found that sheep. If you lost a day's wages, you'd go after it, wouldn't you? And you'd rejoice when you found that day's wages. Verse 11. And he said, a certain man had two sons. And the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divideth unto them his living. By the way, he had no right to that inheritance until his father was gone. But the younger son, in love with and enamored with the world around him, said, I want it all, I want it now. And so the father gave to them their inheritance. Both of them got it at that time. Let's read on. And not many days, verse 13, after the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. The land of forgetfulness of God. We've had young people leave our church and go off to college and go to another town and try to forget God. If they're genuinely born again, God is going to whip them into shape and they're going to come home and they're going to do the right thing. If they're not genuinely born again, it might be that, you know what? God doesn't chastise them and bring them into the fold because they're never his. That could be a real problem. But here this young man took all of his inheritance and he wasted it. He wasted it. He was in the far off land of forgetfulness of God. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in the land. And he began to be in want. Hard times. Proverbs 13:15 says the way of the transgressor is hard. If you're off in the land of sin, you're running from God, hard times are coming. A famine is going to come. And you're going to lose everything. And look what it says about this young man. He went and joined himself to a citizen of that country. And he sent him into his fields to feed swine. That's repugnant to a Jewish boy. Now he's feeding the hogs. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat. He's gotten to the bottom. He's gotten to the place where he'd eat pig slop. He'd be satisfied with just a little of what the world had. He's so far below that level. If you are saved and you run from God, there will come a night or there will come a morning when liquor, that taste in your mouth, it'll be repulsive. There'll be a day when drugs are empty, when immorality is meaningless. That's our culture today. Meaningless. The ladder of success that you've been climbing goes nowhere. That's when you need to remember God. Let's read on. Verse 17. And when he came to himself. By the way, the psalmist said in Psalm 142. Let's turn over there. Psalm 142. I can't quote that whole psalm, and it'd be good for you to hear the whole psalm. It's only seven verses. Psalm 142. I cried unto the Lord with my voice. With my voice unto the Lord did I make my supplication. This is a sinner's cry. I poured out my complaint before him. I showed before him my trouble. When my spirit was overwhelmed within me, then thou knewest my path. In the way wherein I walked, have they privily laid a snare for me. I looked on my right hand and beheld, but there was no man that would know me. Refuge failed me. No man cared for my soul. I cried unto thee, O Lord. I said, thou art my refuge and my portion in the land of the living. Attend unto my cry, for I am brought very low. Deliver me from my persecutors, for they are stronger than I. Bring my soul out of prison, that I may praise thy name. The righteous shall compass me about, for thou shalt deal bountifully with me. This is a sinner's cry. He's hanging out with his friends, and friends who are not born again. Friends who are more than willing to take everything he's got and chew him up and spit him out and leave him in the gutter. He says, I looked to my right and no man cared for my soul. There was no one there. I had no one left. And so I cried out to God. God, you heard me. You know why? He was God's child. And you knew my paths. You knew my fortress. Some of you are reaching out to the world and trying to taste of the sin of the world. You understand, man, that's the wrong place to be. And people die out there. People go home to heaven out there. Let's go back to Luke 15 again. Notice he's referred to as, I refer to this parable as the beloved son. This is the good news. Let's read it. He came to himself. He's a child of God. He finally woke up and said, what the preacher was saying all my life, I guess he was right. The Bible, yeah, that's right. And this world doesn't care. August of 1976, Tim Rader came to himself. I finally said, and it was the goodness of God that led me to repentance. I finally looked around and said, look what I'm missing by not serving God. And bowed, dropped to my knees and bowed my head and heart. And prayed God and asked for forgiveness. And he's blessed me ever since. Truth of the matter is, he was blessing me even when I was in my sin. He wasn't blessing my sin. He was taking care of his child. Luke 15, and when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger. I was at a Bible camp as an adult, and I looked around and saw all the preachers and what a good time they were having. They really seemed like they were enjoying life. I'm thinking, man, and I'm 19. I'm thinking, I know they got electric bills. How are they enjoying life? You know, I know things are going wrong, had to be going wrong, but they're so happy. In my father's house, even the hired servants have bread enough to eat. And I knew it was God that buttered my bread and made the bread and provided it for me. And I came to myself. Never regretted it. Never. Been scary at times, but never regretted it. I will arise and go to my father and say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee. Notice the prodigal. I've sinned against God and also against my father. And I'm no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. Complete humility. Complete repentance. He didn't just think about it. And he arose and came to his father. The Father. Our God. Who is our help. Our strength. Our tower. Our fortress. He came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. What is implied there in verse 20 is the father was waiting for him. He was waiting for him. He didn't even have to go all the way to the house. His father ran to him and embraced him. Every time I read this parable, I think of a story. The names have long been forgotten. I don't remember the names, but it was a true story. And it was a preacher. A guy ends up being a preacher. And I remember hearing the story. I remember the details of the story. I'll share it with you. And I've shared this here before, but it's been years. I've shared this before. And God is so good. This is the God that we serve. One day, the young man who told the story, who ends up being a preacher before it's all said and done, smartly talked back to his father. And his father struck him in the kitchen. And the boy ended up on the ground, the kitchen floor. And the father in his wrath said, "Son, you'll have to go." And the little boy, young man, not a little boy, haughtily packed up his belongings and left, gone for years. He finally went to a church on the West Coast, heard the gospel preached, and got born again. He's on the train coming home. He was troubled. It was very obvious. And there was an old man sitting next to him who just happened to be a deacon. And he said, "Young man, you look troubled. Is there something I can help you with?" And he told the old deacon the story. He said, "I don't know if Dad will let me come home. I've gotten saved. I wrote him a letter. And I said, Dad, if you'll let me come home, these train tracks run right by my home place. I told Dad if he'd let me come home to tie a white flag on the limb of the apple tree behind the house. Right around the next bend is the home place." And he said, "I'm too afraid to look." They went around the train, went around the corner, and the old man looked, and he looked back at the boy, a young man, and said, little older man now, but he said, "Son, you ain't got a thing to worry about. There is a white flag tied to every limb of that tree. And underneath the tree, I see an old man waving a white bed sheet." And what he found out later was he was yelling, "Come on home, son. Come on home." That's our Heavenly Father. To the publicans and the sinners, he'll forgive sin. To the prodigal son, he'll forgive you with arms open wide. The devil will tell you you can't be used of God. You can. 1 John 1:9, still in the Bible. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If you're unsaved, the devil will tell you there's no hope for you. You've sinned way too much. Hebrews chapter 7, verse 25, still in the Bible. He's able to save them unto the uttermost that come unto God by him. Man, what a God we serve. I'm out of time, and I didn't preach on the elder son. And I would like to do that. I don't know if I'll do it tonight or I'll preach what I plan on preaching. But we've got to end this message right now. Let me read just a few more verses here. He came to his father, but when he was a great way off, verse 20, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, here's repentance, "Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight and am no more worthy to be called thy son." But the father said unto his servants, and understand, this young man is in rags. This young man is shoeless. This young man has nothing. The father said to his servants, "Bring forth the best robe and put it on him and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet and bring hither the fatted calf kept for such a feast as this and kill it and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found." And they began to be merry. I'll cover the rest of this chapter tonight in the message I'm going to preach. There's still time. You can still be saved. There's still time. You can still be used of God if you'll come to Him and repent.
Thank you for listening to Good News from the Good Book, broadcast under the direction of Dr. Tim Rader, senior pastor at the Fundamental Baptist Church in Kinross, Michigan. For more information, please visit our website at fbconline.net. We invite you to stay tuned for the next broadcast when Dr. Tim Rader will bring you Good news from the Good Book.